الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات، وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله، ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected mothers and sisters, with the grace of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we have commenced the series of programs, and this segment of ours is dedicated to the topic on the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In our previous discussions, we had spoken about four special ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi, the great Imam and luminary of his time, he says that from a compilation and a treasure of 500,000 ahadith, he had selected and chosen over 5,000 ahadith for his kitab Sunan Abi Dawud, that is 5,274 ahadith. And he says from this entire compilation, collection and treasure, there are four ahadith that are such, that are sufficient for a person's deen. If a person can just understand, comprehend, digest these four ahadith, learn them, understand them, apply them, practice on them, then inshallah this is sufficient for his deen, and this will take him onto the path of salvation and najat. So we had discussed the four ahadith, and we were still elaborating on the first hadith, because these ahadith are so important and they pertain to so many different aspects of our lives. That is why it is important to elaborate and open them up and explain them so that we understand the different dimensions of them and we are able to bring them entirely within our lives. Remember, it is the wording of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that will take us onto the road of salvation. These words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should serve as an inspiration for us in every facet of our lives. In fact, pious people, they always pondered and reflected over these words. And it is as though they could hear the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ringing in their minds. It's constantly as though these words were constantly being told to them. It's as though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he was here in front of us and he had told these words to us, how we would cherish these words, how we would receive them with full attention, with full focus, with full devotion, and how we would live by these words. So these are the words and the advices that he left for us who are his ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the greatest amount of love and concern for his ummah. He would spend nights crying for his ummah, that this ummah must be forgiven, this ummah must get salvation. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted us to be successful in this world, in the qabr and year after. He didn't want us only to be successful when it came to materialistic things. No, he was more concerned of what is going to happen to us after we leave this dunya. What will be our plight in the year after? And that is why he left behind these teachings. And he said that I left among you two things. That if you can hold firm onto these two things, then you will never go astray. There is no force on the surface of this earth that can misguide you, that can deceive you. And that is the Quran Sharif. And the second is Sunnati, the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Mubarak advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So alhamdulillah, we had elaborated on the first hadith, innamal a'malu binniyat, and we wish to further elaborate on the first hadith and then go to the second hadith. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, innamal a'malu binniyat wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa, that all actions are judged on intentions. They are gauged on one's intentions, and every person will receive exactly whatever he had intended. So whenever we do anything, always check our intentions, correct our intentions. It may take us a few minutes or maybe even a few seconds just to think of what our intentions are, but let us rectify and correct our intentions. Like for example, when we are attending a dini program, what should be our intention? Now we are listening to this program, or we are going for the ta'lim, or any other program that is being given by reliable ulama, then firstly we should make this intention that we came to learn deen. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never put us in this world in vain with no purpose. So what are his injunctions? What are his laws? What are those things that will take me closer to him? And what are those things that will take me further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So first of all, we came to learn deen. And at no point should we ever feel that we don't need to learn. The more we learn, the more we need to learn. Knowledge is from the cradle till the grave. At no point should anyone feel that I have got sufficient knowledge. The greatest person of knowledge, the greatest mufti of his time, the greatest Shaykhul Hadith. But we always need to learn. And the more we learn, the more we progress. The more we learn, the more we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to learn deen. The second thing is we need to practice on deen. So we came to the program to learn deen, then to practice on deen. So whatever we learn, we're going to put it in practice. Anything we learn, sometimes we learnt a new dua. Sometimes we learned a new sunnat. Sometimes we learned a new masla. We learned a new etiquette. So we practice on deen. So the first thing is to learn deen. The second is to practice on deen. And to bring our lives entirely in accordance to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the third intention is to propagate deen. So what we learn, we propagate. We teach it to our families. We teach it to our children. We teach it to our friends. So if I am having a discussion with my friend, instead of me talking all sorts of irrelevant things, futile things, let me speak about deen. Let me tell my friend that there's something new that I have learned today. I have learned a new hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have learned a new sunnah. I have learned a new dua. Imagine you taught this dua to your friend. Your friend will make that dua. So she will benefit and you will receive reward. She may then teach that dua to her children, to her family members. You are getting all the reward. So this is a very great investment. Remember the investment of knowledge. If you are teaching someone something, then this is a very great investment. Because you taught that person, they learned, they understood, they practiced, they passed it on. And as long as that knowledge continues in this world, you are continuing to receive reward. Imagine what great rewards you're going to get. So just now, by us attending this program, we can correct our intentions. We can say we have come here to learn deen, to practice deen, and to propagate deen. And whenever we're doing anything, then we have the right intention. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, perhaps many of us heard his name, a very great alim and scholar of his time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken tremendous work from this great scholar. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, when he was a student, then there was a person who was like the king of the time, and he was in charge of building the madrasas. So like how we have got madrasas now, this madrasas goes back like hundreds of years, over thousand years, this thing of madrasas. So he thought to himself that let me go around and see these children who are studying here in the madrasas, why are they studying here? What's the purpose for them to study? So I'll know whether my wealth is being used in the right avenue or not. So he went to the madrasa where Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi was studying, and he began questioning the students that why are you here? Why did you come to this madrasa? So someone said, my father, he's a mufti. So I thought one day I would become a mufti. So that's why I came to study. So he wanted a position. The other person said, you know, my father, he's a qazi. So I came here, one day I want to become the qazi. I want to take that position. So he questioned a few students like this, and eventually he came to the point where he felt that when these students' intentions are incorrect, they have come here to study with incorrect intentions, is it actually worth the while keeping these madrasas open? What we will achieve? Then in the corner he sees one young boy that deeply engrossed in his studies, in his kitabs. He said, okay, let me just ask this boy. And he goes to Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi, makes salam. But Imam Ghazali is so deeply engrossed in his studies that he is oblivious of the salam. But eventually, after a little while, he managed to get his attention. And then he said, oh young boy, I can see you very, very engrossed in your studies. So why are you studying? What's your intention? What's your purpose for coming here? So Imam Ghazali said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so kind to us in so many ways, with so many favors. I want to learn what will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to learn what are the laws and injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will take me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this king now was impressed with that response. And he said, because of this one boy, I will keep these madrasas open, even if there's one student like this that has come with the correct intention. So always in everything, our intention must be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest thing. If Allah is pleased with us, we have achieved everything. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with us, then we have achieved nothing. And we will get exactly what we intend. Whatever our intention be, that is what we are going to receive. Someone came for a dini program just for the purpose of socializing. I came there, I will show my face, people will see that I attended, I will socialize, I will meet some of my old friends, maybe I will sit down, I will talk to them. Then that's what you're going to achieve. But if you came to achieve the true light of knowledge, you came to achieve the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is what you will achieve. So you will achieve exactly what you came for. Ulama explain that part of sincerity, they mention 3 points. They say the first thing is that when you're doing something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will not be concerned of whether anyone is watching you or not watching you. So if we're only doing something when people are watching us, you know, now someone is watching us, someone is seeing what we're doing, we are accountable to someone, we're only doing it for that, then that is a sign that we don't really have like a high level of sincerity. Because we are doing it, if someone is watching us, we do it. If someone is not watching us, we don't do it. When we're in public, we do it. When we're in private, we don't do it. So that shows we don't really have sincerity. So the first thing is not to be bothered about anyone watching us or not watching us. We're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether anyone knows or they don't know, whether they acknowledge or they don't acknowledge, we are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is, don't ever look for a distinguished position. Sometimes we do things because we want a distinguished position. We want people to appreciate, applaud us. No, we don't want any distinguished position. We're doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must get our position in the akhirat. We must get our position in Jannat. In this dunya, we don't want any position. And the third thing is that when we're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will always do it with perfection. I am performing this salah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of my ability. I will do it with perfection. I am doing this ibadat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am rendering this tilawat. I am reading it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then I will do it to the best of my ability. So that salah, I'm not just doing it to get over with it. I'm not just doing it to be absolved of the responsibility. No, this is something that I'm presenting before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm reading this Quran Sharif. I'm reading it for Allah's pleasure. Allah is listening to me. He is listening to my qiraat. He is listening to my recitation. Every word I recite, every letter I recite, every ayat I recite. So I am reading it with concentration. I am reading it with enjoyment. I am relishing it, every bit of it, because it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am doing it for His pleasure. He is listening to me. He is rewarding me. He is blessing me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showering His mercy on me. So this is a sign that a person has got sincerity, where whatever he does, there's no deficiency in that. He's not doing it with any deficiency, but he's doing it with perfection, because he understands that he's doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when it comes to qurbani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَا كِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ, that the flesh of the animal never reaches Allah, and it's not the blood of the animal, but it is your sincerity. It is the spirit that you are doing it with. So I am doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I can afford it. Let me look for the best animal. Let me look for the animal that will meet the requirements. When it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then price should never be a problem. Then money should never be a problem, because this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, when I'm doing things for myself, then I can say, okay, now, why must I buy such an expensive cell phone? I'd rather buy something cheaper, rather, because that is now for my own self, that I can cut on cost. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I can afford it, and I've got the money, then price should not be an issue, cost should not be an issue. I am doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will do it with perfection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching the spirit within us. And exactly what you do the action for is what you will receive. So I'm going to conclude this hadith now with an incident. And inshallah we're going to move on to the next hadith. Perhaps many of us have heard the name of Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi, who was from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a Sayyid and a very great Buzurg and a very great saint of his time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed numerous miracles to happen from him. Remember, when it comes to saintly personalities, we do not worship them. We only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yes, we can learn and take lessons from their lives, and we can take lessons from their teachings, that how they became saints and they had excelled in the field of piety, then we also have to excel in piety too. We also want to become pious. Always have that desire, as the poet says, "Uhibbu as-salihin wa lastu minhum." I love pious people, although I am not among them. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنِي صَلَاحًا. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also grant me piety. Always have a love in our hearts for pious people, because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we love also those people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious selected servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi was a young boy, and he was still a student of deen, and he heard of a pious person, and he said, "Let me go into the company of the pious person so that I can also get some piety." Remember, pious people, Allah's rahmat is always descending on them. So if we go into their company, or we listen to their programs or participate, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also bless us. Allah, so like a rain is falling, so the rain falls on all sides. Even the people that are around the pious person, they also benefit from the shower of rain. So as he is going to meet this pious person en route, then he meets others also who are traveling in the same direction. So there's a businessman and there's an alim. So they discuss their intentions. What are their intentions? So Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi is a student at the time, and he says that his intention is to go into the company of this pious person so that he can benefit from his piety, and it will also be a means of him getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the right intention for us sitting even in the programs of pious people, so that we benefit from their piety and we benefit from their knowledge and we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is the objective of our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never sent us here just to make more money, or just to enjoy our lives, or just to have entertainment. But the very purpose is to get the recognition of Allah, to worship Allah, to better ourselves, improve ourselves. The alim, unfortunately, he had a very wrong intention. He said, "See, this man, people are saying he is pious. I'm going to test him. I've got some tricky questions that I'm going to pose to him, and I'm going to ask him these questions, and I'm going to see whether he can answer my questions or not. And is he really like pious and knowledgeable as people make him to be?" So this was something that was very wrong. Remember, when it comes to pious people, we should never ever show any sign of disrespect. Don't ever disrespect pious people, because they are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you hurt them, then you are waging war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you hurt them, then you're looking for trouble in your life. You can never be successful. Even if for some reason you may disagree with them for something, you rather keep quiet and not say anything, and do not show any disrespect to pious servants and pious ulama, because then you are looking for trouble. The businessman, he said, "Business has not been too good nowadays. So I think maybe let me go to this pious man. Maybe he will make some dua, or he will give me some wazifa to read, and my business may just take off, and my business can be thriving and I can become wealthy." So as they arrived, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already opened up before the saint that these people are coming and these are their intentions. Remember, saints, they do not have the knowledge of the unseen, that they know everything of the unseen. Some people think, hey, you know, the saint, he knows everything of the unseen and he knows. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does open up certain things to certain saints, whether it be in the form of a dream, or whether it be in the form of a vision. So as they arrived, the saint, he looked at the alim, and he told him, see, these are the questions you have come with, and these are the replies to the questions. But as for you, I can see on your forehead the words of kufr written. That means at some point, you're going to leave the fold of Islam. Although you are an alim, and you may be a knowledgeable person outwardly, but because of your disrespect, you know, you did not have respect for the saint, this is going to be your outcome. He looked at the businessman, and he told him that I can see you sitting on piles of gold and silver. That means you came here with this intention that your business will flourish. And now I'm making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I've got hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's going to accept my duas, and I can see you sitting on piles of gold and silver. And exactly as this saint mentioned, it had transpired. The businessman went back, and shortly after that, his business started doing very well. And also, although that should not be our intention, we mustn't make dunya our intention, but sometimes some pious people can make dua for us, and things can open up. So we must always take duas of pious people, take duas of our seniors, take duas of our elders, and take duas of people, because we don't know who can be a pious person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden this. It's not something that is exposed. We don't know. Can be an ordinary person, but he can make dua for us. She can make dua for us. And we, that dua can just make things start working for us. And as for the alim, there was one a Christian Pope, who sent a challenge. That was the time when Muslims were in rule, Islamic countries. So he sent a challenge that I want to debate. Send one of your knowledgeable scholars to debate me. So the king of the time, because he seen that this alim had such a great potential and understanding, he thought this person may be the right person to take on the debate. So he had selected and chosen him. So it must have been somewhere in Europe, and this person went to debate with the Pope, but the Pope's daughter was there, an attractive girl, and his eyes fell on the Pope's daughter, and he was infatuated with her love. So the Pope told him that if you want my daughter in marriage, I can give her to you in marriage, but you must leave your religion. And unfortunately, may Allah protect us all, this alim left Islam and he went to kufr, he went to Christianity. So exactly as the buzurg and the saint had prophesied, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened it up to him. And he prophesied this year, he predicted this, and it did happen. And then he looked at Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi, and remember, at that time the world never knew who Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani was. No one knew what this young boy was going to become, and what great work Allah is going to take from him. He said, I can see you standing on the mimbar of Baghdad, and you are delivering a sermon and a khutbah, and you are saying, قَدَمِي هَذِهِ عَلَىٰ أَعْنَاقِ كُلِّ أُولِيَاءِ اللَّهِ, that this foot of mine is on the necks of every wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, you will become the leading saint of your time. You will become a very great personality. And it so happened that many years later, this had transpired. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi became a very great personality. And he was giving the sermon, and the condition that overtook him. And he said that this foot of mine is over the neck of every wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed his voice to travel to the different parts of the world, and the different saints that were living at that time, they heard this voice, and some of them actually lowered their necks and they said, yes, this man's foot is on our necks. And some said, not only on our necks, but even on our heads, because he has reached such a high rank in such a high rank among the awliya and among the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a high rank of piety. Allah blessed him with such piety that he has reached this position now. But now again, when we go back, what do we see? Where did it all start off from? It all started off from the intentions. So if someone's intentions are right, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, the hadith says that every person will receive whatever he had intended. So this hadith is a very important hadith, and we should constantly keep it in front of us. All actions are judged on intentions, and every person will receive whatever he intended. That person whose migration was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then his migration is for Allah and his Rasul, he will receive his rewards. And that person whose migration was just for some worldly gain or for a woman that he wanted to marry, then his migration is for whatever he had intended. He should not receive any rewards in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always correct our intentions. Whatever we're doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're doing it for the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're doing it for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, we want your love, we want your proximity, we want your pleasure. That is the most important thing in our life. If we have got Allah, we have got everything. If we have got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will guide us through the different challenges of our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the way for us. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make the systems of this world work in favor of us. If we become Allah's, Allah will become ours. Man kana lillah, kana Allahu lahu. Who becomes Allah's, Allah becomes his. That must always be our main concern, our main fikr, and the cry of our hearts, that we must always please Allah and never displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there's anything that there's the slightest chance of us displeasing Allah, there's a slightest chance of it being sin, there's a slightest chance of it being doubtful, we stay away very far from that. Because at no cost can we displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can never make him angry. We can never displease him. We can never do anything that breaks his commandments. Anything that the sky can come, fall down also too. The roof can fall down. The world can come to an end. But I cannot break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My loyalty is first to Allah before anyone else. So this is the first hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi said that these four ahadith are sufficient for a person's deen. So it's as though every hadith makes up like quarter of Islam. The second hadith is a hadith quoted by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. And he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ, that from the beauty of a person's Islam and religion is that he leaves out anything that does not concern him. So whatever does not concern him, and you leave it out. And the sign of that is that, see that, is that something important for your deen or your dunya? Are you getting any deeny benefit from it? Or are you getting any worldly benefit from it? If there's something that you're not getting any deeny benefit from, you're not getting any worldly benefit from, then we need to leave it out. Now this hadith, some ulama mentioned this is quarter of Islam. Some even went to the extent to saying it's half of Islam. And some said it is the entire Islam. And this is like one of the most important foundations for self-discipline, where we leave out things that have got no benefit. And often in our lives, when we fall into problems, you will see the reason is that we went into something that did not concern us. Something did not concern us. It had nothing to do with us. We leave it out and we stay away from it because it is not something that concerns us. What this person did, what his daughter did, what his granddaughter did, it doesn't concern us. When we die, be rest assured that Munkar Nakir, when you go in the qabr, they're not going to ask you about that man's life, about what he did, or what his daughter did, or anything of that sort. So if it is something that doesn't concern us, we stay away from it. We stay away from it, we leave it out, we discard it. What concerns us? What worries us? What we are responsible for? What are our responsibilities? We need to see it. So often in life, when we get ourselves into problems, it is because we are engaging in things that do not concern us. So if for some reason, there is a genuine reason that we need to correct someone, then we don't need to broadcast it to the entire world. We will find out that who the person's seniors are, that there's a genuine concern and we're 100% sure. Then we would notify the seniors to say that, see, there is this concern. Now we are notifying you because it is our duty to correct you, to correct the wrong. That is a different situation. But where we go around talking about people, discussing people's matters, discussing people's lives that do not bother us, most cases, unverified information, most situations, we don't know the truth. It is half story that has reached us. So we stay away from anything that does not concern us. And remember, when we speak about anything that does not concern us, then the immediate thing is that it will create a darkness in our hearts. Immediately, there will be a zulmat and a darkness that is created in our hearts. Why? Because we are delving in something that does not relate to us, something that does not concern us. So that's going to create a darkness. To such an extent, the ulama say, let's say a man is selling his product. Often here in Ispingo Beach, we'll hear now people, the van going around and someone calling out, "Millis, Millis, Millis." So the whole day, the man is selling his product. So there will be no darkness that comes in his heart. Why? Because that is something that concerns him. That is his business now. He needs to sell his product. But the moment we start talking things that do not concern us, things of a futile nature, a futile activity, immediately what happens is that will create a darkness within our hearts. And that darkness within our hearts is going to stop us from doing good deeds. And we will find that many of us, we have got this problem of over-talking. We talk too much. Now, why we do that is because we have not tasted the sweetness of silence. The Buzurgan Deen and pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they train themselves to remain silent. So they keep quiet. And remember, day silence is not daydreaming. Day silence is not deception, is not a depression. Often now, people going into depression, then they'll become very silent. No, their silence is contemplation. When they're keeping quiet, they're thinking about the akhirat. They're thinking about the qabr. They're thinking about maut. They're thinking about jannat. So their silence is not depression. In our situation, many people, when they go silent, hey, now this person, they're not talking. Now the man is going into a depression. So I'm not talking about depression. I'm talking about silence of contemplation. Silence of thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you can even make dua. You can make dua in your heart. You can make dua through meditation. So you're silent, but in your heart you're making dua. You're crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is my need. Allah, this is my desire. Allah, this is my ambition. Allah, this is what I want. Bless me with this favor. Allah, bless me with that favor. Bless my children. Bless my family. Bless the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Help the people of Gaza. Help the people of Yemen. Help the Muslims throughout the world. So your silence could be contemplation. Your silence could be dua. Your silence could be thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the good moments, ya Allah ta'ala, you bless me. You know, you're so kind to me. All the good moments in my life, all the happiness I ever experienced, Allah, it is you. You gave it to me. You blessed it to me. Allah, you're so kind to me. Allah, you're so compassionate to me. Oh Allah, bless me with your love. Oh Allah, bless me with the tawfiq of showing gratitude, of making shukr. So pious people, they were blessed with silence and they were blessed with the enjoyment, because that enjoyment that they got in their hearts, the nur, the light that they got through silence, they never got that through speech. So a lot of us, we have got this problem of over-talking, and sometimes we don't have any filters on our tongues. So when we over-speak, we speak everything and anything. And sometimes we are speaking bad about pious people. We are making allegations. We are making statements. And remember, every statement is being recorded. So that is why, min husni Islam al-mar'i, the sign of a person having a good Islam is that he will leave out things that do not concern him. So always, whenever we're doing things, whether it's a futile speech, it's a futile discussion, it's a futile activity, look at how much of time we are wasting on social media. It's something that's completely futile. It's something that's got no benefit. So that is why, because we are wasting this time, we cannot be progressive. We cannot be productive. Someone is reading 5,000 times Durood Sharif every day. Someone is reading so many paras of Quran Sharif every day. Why? Because they are particular of their time. They are taking good care of their time. Every minute counts for them. Every second counts for them. So let us try and get this futility out of our lives. And the more we get futility out of our lives, the more we enjoy the nur and the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we enjoy the sukoon and tranquility within our hearts, the sweetness of our ibadat. Now our ibadat becomes so much more better. It becomes so much more pleasant. Why? Because there's no darkness within our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us these qualities, the qualities of the pious people, so we also become from the selected and elite servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we finish, just one announcement. Inshallah, this coming Saturday, the 12th of April, there's an important program happening here in Ispingo Beach, the Jama Masjid, from 3 p.m. till Maghrib, a special program for those who are performing Hajj, even for someone who is going for Umrah. Inshallah, the program will be very beneficial. The ladies' venue will be the Girls Madrasa, 5th Avenue, Ispingo Beach. We request all those who are going for Hajj or even for Umrah, so that we should attend this program. Inshallah, the females attending the program, and even encouraging our men to attend the program and benefit, so that inshallah, whenever, if we are going for Hajj, or when we do go for Hajj, or we go for Umrah, inshallah, if we learn properly the correct etiquettes, then that Hajj can be a life-changing Hajj, and that Hajj can be a Hajj that inshallah is the means of earning our Jannah and getting the closeness and proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Allahumma ansur al-islam wal muslimin. Allahumma aizz al-islam wal muslimin. Allahumma ansur al-mujahideen fi kulli makan. Allahumma ansur ikhwanana al-mustada'afin fi Falastin wa fi Suriya wa fi Kashmir wa fi Burma wa fi Yemen wa fi Sudan wa fi kulli makanin ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma ayyidhum bi ta'yidik. Allahumma aftah lahum fathan mubina wa ansurhum nasran aziza. Allahumma ajjil bi nasrihim ya qawiyyu ya aziz. Allahumma at'imhum min ju' wa aminhum min khawf. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma ihdina wahdi bina واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.